And joining us on Perspectives today is Suri Hong. Suri is the, I guess, the curator, if you want to call it that, because this is an interesting book. It's called Outside the Lines, an artist's coloring book for giant imaginations, translated to a coloring book for adults and for anybody, actually. But the fact that sometimes we all tend to go back to our childhood, or we get with our grandkids or with our kids and we start coloring, and they tell us that we're doing it wrong, and so we do it their way. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and more. But first, Suri, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about, because I mentioned you're an artist, tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. I actually have a science degree, but I work in visual arts. I'm currently the head of visual arts for the Windisch Agency, based in Los Angeles. And my day-to-day is that I represent and champion and protect a group of visual artists that I work with on a roster. My history background is actually in science. I first started working on the Big Dig in Boston and doing environmental health and safety consulting. And after 2 years of doing that, decided to move from Boston to Los Angeles to work for a heavy metal band called Slayer. And from working in music management, I ended up in magazine publishing and worked for a seminal lifestyle title called Tokyon Magazine in the late 90s and early 2000s. We started here in Los Angeles and moved to New York. And while we were in New York, I met many creative folks through the title. And a lot of those friends that I made, you know, 18 years ago are today in the coloring book. And so for me, it's, you know, kind of come full circle working with creatives over the nearly the last two decades to come up with this idea, which actually was inspired by my daughter.
Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, that we've all at one time or another, you know, had a coloring book or shared coloring books, or you know, there was always that kid in school who had, like, Crayola, 1,000 color boxes, and here you are with your 8 colors and going, well, I guess maybe she'll share or he'll share. And eventually they did, but the best colors, I think, were the ones that probably were in a box and broken, and you have to look for the color and you just try everything and you share. As a child, were you an artist by then? Did you start working in drawing and playing with coloring books, or did you ever think you were going to do this? Because you mentioned science.
Yeah, actually, as a child, I'm the middle of 5. We're very close. And we had a forest as a backyard. So we spent a lot of our days roaming around the forest, running to the creek. And that's sort of where the spark for my interest in science, you know, generated from that. And I think the fact that we watched every Jane Goodall documentary growing up in elementary school. But coloring, I think all, you know, children are artists, and naturally, and it's just something you tend to lose over the years when you start to, you know, hunker down and hone in on a profession. Coloring is an activity that's, you know, very natural to all young folks, and I see it now. My daughter is nearly 6 years old, and all she does all day is draw and create. While I drew and created a lot as a child, I'm not actually an illustrator or artist, but have always been interested in working with creatives. Lulu's father, Silvio Peretta, is actually a classically trained artist. He went to school in France, in the south of France, at the École des Beaux-Arts, and parlayed that into a career in visual arts in America. So I've always been, you know, attracted to hanging out with creative folks, whether you're a chef or a scientist or a visual artist or musician or talent.
It's interesting that you mentioned your daughter Lulu and the fact that her father is an artist. And in the book, at the beginning, in the foreword, in the introduction, you actually thank your daughter for helping you come up with this idea, because you said that even though she has coloring books from all over the world, there were 2 books that she kept going back to.
Yeah, so, you know, because Sylvia is actually from France, we have friends that would visit us from all over the world, and a lot of our peers would want to bring a present for Lulu. So I always suggested a coloring book because they're light, they're affordable, and they're different, you know, depending on where they're coming in from. So she had a pretty vast collection of coloring books from Europe and Asia and all over North America. But, you know, I had noticed that she actually favored coloring in the books of Andy Warhol and Keith Haring. And at the time, we had returned from a Moebius exhibition in Paris and had a coloring book from there as well. And it was while watching her color in that book that I realized, you know, wow, this is really neat. She has so many coloring books, but she always wants to seem to color in the books with artwork by, you know, professional or career visual artists. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if she could color in her dad's work and our friend's work? And from that, I wrote a list of about 150 artists that I knew personally, and I started writing them, you know, 10 at a time, asking if they would contribute a line drawing to a coloring book. And within a month, I had 70 artists say yes, without having a book deal in place and not even having a book proposal together yet, just an idea. But from the time of concept to getting these yeses, to writing a proposal, to finding an agent, to pitching to publishers, it happened very quickly. So it seemed as though, timing-wise, and this is back in 2011 when the idea was first started. My book was published in September of 2013. And even then, several media outlets had called it, you know, their favorite adult coloring book. And it wasn't quite a trend yet then, but it looks like it's taken a couple years and now it's really taken off. What's so amazing is that I've always known the visual artist, but it wasn't until I actually observed Lulu that the idea came together.
Well, as you mentioned, you had this concept back in 2013, but it caught on, as you've mentioned, and a lot of, in fact, Amazon said that their top-selling books aren't even for reading, so that includes your book. And in September, you had another book come out, Outside the Lines 2.
Yeah, so Outside the Lines 2 is the follow-up to the original. And basically, with the success of the first book, we've been able to put together a second coloring book with approximately another 120 artists, all different from the first book, made with, again, so many of our friends that I wasn't able to get into the first title. We're really excited about this one as well.
We're visiting with Suri Hong. She is the curator of the books Outside the Lines and Outside the Lines 2. They are coloring books. However, they're not your typical coloring books because Suri has gone and asked for permission from artists to get some of their artwork and do it in just lines so that the child or you or anybody else could color it. Now, the outside of the books, they're interesting because you show the blank part without the coloring, and then the other half is what it would look like after it's colored in.
Yeah. And everyone has a different idea about how pieces of work should be colored in. And one of the best things that have come across, we've come across on social media, is coloring book enthusiasts are quite enthusiastic. So when they color in their pages, they'll tag it, you know, Outside the Lines or OTL book. I'll find it and then I'll be able to share, you know, their coloring with the actual artist and, you know, everybody else who's really into this. And I share it across our Facebook page or, you know, on Twitter. And what's so amazing is for each artist to see, you know, different people around the world coloring in their pages. Because they imagine what, you know, how they would like to see. And actually, they imagine how they would color the pages themselves. So it's very interesting to see how others do it.
Well, since we're on radio and, you know, unless you go to our webpage, you can't really see what we're talking about. If you wouldn't mind describing perhaps one of the art pieces in your book, perhaps, you know, one of the better known ones or more popular that you think you've heard from your fans, readers, and artists, or, you know, just describe for us just some of them in general.
Sure. We have, you know, several line drawings from animators and fine artists, illustrators, and even musicians and photographers. And I think by default, in the first book, you know, Keith Haring and Shepard Fairey seem to be the names that bubble up often as the most recognizable, both originally street artists turned fine artists. And for the Keith Haring piece, you know, it is a, and I'm not sure if the audience is familiar with Keith Haring's work, but it is a page full of characters from his work that's really recognizable, with the line drawings, with the barking dog and spaceships, and, you know, the simple line drawings that he's most known for.
Well, some illustrations are very simple, you know, and it's up to the imagination of the artist and you as you're coloring at home. But then there's some that are also very complicated and very detailed, because as you mentioned, there are people who color, you know, every which way. Some are very detailed. They have to be almost perfect, not go outside the lines, no pun intended. And there are others who just, like, you know, like a 2-year-old or 3-year-old who gives you a scribbly colored up page and say, look, Dad, I drew you. Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's so great about the illustrations, is that I was able to ask every artist what would they like to contribute to a coloring book, if it was for themselves to color, or their child or niece, nephew, or friend's kid, but also really for themselves. I think a lot of artists still have that, you know, childlike curiosity and sincerity in their work. And it's amazing to see, you know, what contributions were made. In the first book, actually, just to kind of explain a couple of pieces, it's very interesting because two artists actually came up with the same concept of having a big black rectangle in the pieces. One page is completely black, and the other page is a large rectangle, a black rectangle within the page. And when you present the page to adults, they're confused. They're not quite sure what to do with those pages, and they'll even claim that they're not colorable. You show the same page to a young child, and the child immediately thinks, oh, I'll use a white crayon, or I'll use a lighter colored crayon. So kids, you know, aren't bound by sort of rules of engagement, even when it comes down to coloring a page, and can sort of think outside of the box in this case. So it's been very interesting to see how in the first series, you know, two black pages were often commented on by outsiders as to how to color those pages. When kids figured it out right away, it took adults a little bit more time to see that you could actually color on those pages. With the second book, you know, we have so many different artists, from athletes to musicians and also designers, and a lot of the drawings are very simple, but at the same time, they're also really playful. The Eames office contributed a actual, you know, Eames elephant that was designed by Charles and Ray Eames in 1945, and it's a cutout. So you can actually color the elephant and then cut it out and make yourself a little, you know, sort of prop stand-up of the Eames elephant. So it's quite playful, and it's more of an activity, not just, you know, coloring, and obviously for all ages as well.
We're visiting with Suri Hong. Suri is the curator of books Outside the Lines and Outside the Lines 2, an artist coloring book for giant imaginations. And Suri has been describing some of the various artwork that is featured in the coloring book for you to color. And as we go back and talk a little bit about coloring, I remember, and I'm showing my age here, that we used to watch Captain Kangaroo with his Crayola crayons, and he'd kind of, with his nice, smooth voice, kind of tell us how to color, and we'd be watching, and we're like, wow, this is really neat. And so a box of colors and just a coloring book would keep us entertained forever.
Yeah, and actually today with, you know, I think so much screen time for children, it's kind of nice to go back to analog activities such as coloring. And while it's a really big activity for children in that they'll naturally go to coloring, I think what's really interesting is the adults that have entered into this foray of coloring books and have made them quite popular. And I think in France, they have the largest population of adults who enjoy coloring, especially with a glass of wine, to unwind from the day, and that there are, I suppose, therapeutic benefits to coloring. And a lot of reports have come out now that, it relaxes people and possibly lowers their blood pressure and allows them to just enjoy a quiet afternoon. And I've been told by a lot of friends that they really enjoy coloring in the book themselves when they had initially purchased it for a child or their own kid, even so where, they've had to buy multiple copies for the house so that the parents had their set and the kids had their set as well.
Now, as we're discussing coloring, and you mentioned your daughter Lulu has coloring books from all over the world, I guess, for the benefit of myself and also the listeners, can you kind of describe what some of the coloring books from other places in the world feature?
Sure. Well, we have coloring books from Germany that, to no one's surprise, is full of line drawings of soccer players. So a friend of ours had sent that from Berlin. It's quite awesome. It's just a bunch of athletes of line drawings. And then we have coloring books from Japan with a lot of characters where they're very infantile, like characters, think Miyazaki style, although that's not infantile at all. That's quite complex animated artwork. But we also have coloring books from France, and France seemed to really enjoy coloring books already, 4 years ago when I was going through the shelves, I could find a bunch of titles that we thought were really great, and they would have a coloring book that were masks. So you could color in these masks, cut them out, and then, wear them afterwards. So that was really, an awesome sort of playful, fun activity. I've seen coloring books in Brazil of just nature and other sort of outdoor activities. We have coloring books all over the states that have been of, impressive, awesome women. And coloring books, of course, that also, follow sort of the branded stuff, whether it's from a big, Disney film, Disney Pixar film such as Cars or any of the other series.
And as you mentioned earlier about studies have shown that coloring lower your blood pressure, it can be very therapeutic. As far as, when we go to a restaurant, when they give you a child's menu, they usually get a box of colors. When you're on an airplane, you get colors and a little page to color. You go to a doctor's office and they have a coloring book. They're in lots of colors. And especially in a doctor's waiting room, I've seen like a pediatrician's offices where a child will get there and maybe there's five children there in one box of colors, and they'll all gladly share and exchange ideas with each other, and they can stay occupied almost forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's natural for children to want to color and draw. And so give them a piece of paper, give them crayons or pencils, and they'll just go at it. So, it's really interesting to see at what age kids actually start coloring. I have on a videotape, our daughter was one when she got her first set of crayons, and, she was more interested in eating them back then, but with, time was able to use her motor skills and sort of get scribbling. If you're going to put out a coloring book, whether it's a child or an adult, I've been told by many friends that they have this coloring book on their, coffee table with the same thing, the Crayola 64 box set of crayons. People will just tend to naturally grab a crayon and start coloring as a way to relax and or, you know, do an activity while they're hanging out, chatting with one another. So, yes, for children and for adults alike, I think if you put the tools out there, they will use them.
We're visiting with Suri Hong. She is a curator of coloring books, Outside the Lines and Outside the Lines 2, an artist coloring book for giant imaginations. And the books feature various works of artists, in fact, more than 100 contemporary artists. And I'm looking at one of the pages in the first book, and it's the one by, it's called Bird by Naomi Kasama. And this one is an incredibly detailed, it's like it's a jigsaw puzzle. And then you have to, I guess, color it in whichever way you want to do it. And I guess this would be interesting to have people with different ideas have a crack at this, because there'll be some who are very detailed, and then there'll be others who just want to get it over with quickly, with very little patience, and then there are others who just keep going back to it like a puzzle.
Yeah, and so with the varying degrees of, you know, intricacies, there are many line pieces that are very, very, very detailed. You know, and then there are others, again, where, just like you said, you could color quite quickly. You know, the interesting thing is also, for me, a lot of feedback came from many people who were discovering these artists for the first time. And on the back of each page, it lists not only the title of the artwork and the name of the artist, but also the website for each artist. So if, you know, a fancy illustration sparks your fancy, then you can actually go check out the rest of their work online and, you know, discover more works. And what's also interesting is while, you know, some of the work here is very representative of each artist's work, I also know that for others, you know, some of them really experimented with the work that they were contributing. You know, it might be a little bit different than the artwork that they normally do. But you can, you know, color something really intricate, like Amy Kaufman's dots in the first, you know, her circle art in the first book, or something, you know, more simple, but just as charming, such as DeVito's work, you know, which is an elephant with numbers on it. This book is for all levels, from children to adults.
And Suri, I need to make a correction here, because as you mentioned that the detail is in the back of the picture, and I was looking at the opposite page, and the picture that I was describing is not Bird. That's a different one, but yeah. This one is called Puzzling in Paris.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yes, that's by the husband and wife couple, Cozy and Dan. They're wonderful illustrators and artists, and I know the piece that you're talking about. Yes.
And the other one is that's interesting, and especially for people who use mass transit, and that's Subway Skeleton.
Yes, and that's Logan Hicks, who is another artist. And, you know, that's, you know, taking these everyday scenarios that you see, transforming it into line objects, and or just going the exact opposite with the most wildest imaginative pieces as well.
Now, when you went about choosing these, Suri, for your books, how did you determine what kind of pieces to have, from complicated to simple to even, you know, contemporary art? What did you decide? How did you choose those?
Sure. So with every artist, I actually left it up to them to contribute a piece that they would like to color in themselves and or were inspired to create for their own children or family or friends. And I think with a lot of coloring books, they're, especially at the time of the first one, you know, back in 2011, they were catered towards a younger population and children. With this coloring book, it was meant to be something for everyone, whether young or old. And I think, you know, the artwork translates to both populations, that they don't have to be super simple for children or super complex for adults. I mean, it's very interesting to, again, see the final colored results from, you know, both audiences. But every artist was given the opportunity to contribute the piece that they wanted to see in the book for themselves or for someone else that inspired them. I didn't give any guidelines as to whether or not it had to be a certain theme or complexity. I left that up to each artist individually.
We're visiting with Suri Hong. Suri is the curator of two books, Outside the Lines and Outside the Lines 2. They are coloring books from an artist's conception for giant imaginations. And as I mentioned, they are curated by Suri Hong, who has selected various contemporary artists to feature in these coloring books. And one of the things that is interesting about this book also is not only does it describe the name of the piece, it also gives us links to their website. So if you want to see what the finished product looks like or what some of their other work looks like, then you can go there as well.
That's right. And, you know, discovering who the artists are is just one of the great perks of learning about art while coloring in these books.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that a lot of people have gone to your Facebook page, and you know, Facebook is the social media that everybody just about. It's almost like it used to be. Do you have an email address? It's now. Do you have a Facebook page? And for people who are interested in going to your Facebook page, Suri, tell us a little bit about what they can find on your page to find out more about the books and also about your work as well.
Sure. So the Facebook page is actually facebook.com/ Outside the Lines book. And when you get to that page, you'll find the coloring book, you know, page online, I'm sorry, on Facebook, and you'll find all sorts of news clips about the book, but mainly also what people tend to come check out are the illustrations and colorings that other folks have done for the different pages. And they'll tag it again, OTL book, we'll find it, and we'll share it with everyone. With regards to my work, I do represent visual artists, and you can find more about that at windishagency.com. If you'd like to find out more about my work with the artist, you can go to the URL outsidethelinesbook.com.
Suri, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Suri Hong. She is the curator of the books Outside the Lines and Outside the Lines 2, Artist's Coloring Conception, Coloring Book for Giant Imaginations. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.